That is a great warm-up. It's a blessing to be here with you this morning. We welcome you if you're visiting with us. We're so glad you're here with us, and we hope that eventually you'll make a decision to make the Lassen Street your church home and your church family. We hope the Lord leads you that way. Let's begin by going to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for another day that you've granted us, especially this Lord's Day, where we can share in exercising our freedom because of the great sacrifice of others to come together and worship you, look into another portion of your word together, and Father, praise and honor you and all that you've done for us. We pray that we can worship you in spirit and truth in a way that is acceptable in your sight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, it's still Thanksgiving weekend, so we have a Thanksgiving lesson. The attitude of gratitude. And I think it's important to point out and to think this morning as Christians that, of course, we have a great tradition of our Thanksgiving holiday, which is fantastic, to focus on being thankful and expressing appreciation to one another, and just appreciation and thanksgiving in general is a great thing. But I think we're unique as Christians in that we're giving thanks not only to one another, and to others, but also to our great God in heaven directly for what he's done for us, and primarily in sending his son to die on the cross, take the punishment that we deserve, and then by his power be raised on that third day. Thanksgiving and expressing appreciation is actually very powerful when you think about it. Have you ever been encouraged by someone just thanking you and expressing appreciation for something you've done? Parents, maybe in particular, children, maybe, parents' expression of gratitude for things that you've done. Sad to say, I didn't really appreciate or express appreciation for my parents. I did while I was at home, but much more so after I left home. And then it's like, wow, there just always seemed to be food on the stove or just appeared there, like come home from sports events or practice and there's just a pot roast there, And come to find out, that was Mom working behind the scenes. Like, wow, I really appreciate it. There's nothing on the stove now, unless I do take action. And so young people here today, don't make the same mistake. Express your appreciation now for your parents, for sure. Gratitude motivates. And then a lack of gratitude can actually be very draining. How about it? I think about at work sometimes, the district superintendent, like with state parks, if they send out an email to everybody like in maintenance, and thanks for taking care of this or that, but it's blasted out not only to maintenance but our other coworkers. That's very encouraging. It's like, wow, the district superintendent really appreciated that effort. And of course, you don't need that all the time, every day, for every little thing you do, but every once in a while, it's very motivating. And how about when you express appreciation to someone else for what they've done? You see them kind of light up and really appreciate you appreciating them, right? Isn't that true? So as Christians, come to find out, giving thanks and thanksgiving, if you will, is actually commanded and expected by God. Whether we feel like it or not, or whether it's marked by a holiday, the Bible makes it clear that expressing our gratitude for God is a vital part of our spiritual health and maturity. I would even argue our physical health is tied in with our spiritual well-being. So listen to the Apostle Paul as he writes to the Christians in Colossae, Colossians 3, in verses 15 through 17. Paul writes to these Christians, and they're living in a very difficult environment and challenging culture, just as we are today. And he says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness or gratitude in your hearts to God." And then in verse 17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Giving thanks and expressing gratitude is mentioned three times here in three verses. Gratitude is mentioned with allowing the peace of Christ to rule and to reign within us, in our very hearts, in our, I would add, our soul and our mind. And then thankfulness and gratitude is tied in with allowing the word of Christ to dwell richly within us. And again, this is unique to Christianity as compared to just broadly and generally giving thanks and just being thankful in general. We're giving thanks to God. Is tied in with his son, Jesus Christ, ruling in our hearts. Is tied in with allowing, taking action, reading his word, and then allowing it to reign and rule within us. And then giving thanks along with everything we do in word or deed. I find these verses challenging, by the way. Sometimes it's difficult or challenging as a preacher because you haven't quite lived up to what you're preaching yet. But we'll all strive for it together. How about that? To give thanks in everything we do in word or deed. I know I can tend to be grumpy sometimes. I don't like doing certain things. What about you? You don't have to like everything you do in life, by the way, do we? I hope not. But I can do it with thanksgiving while not liking it. I may not like cleaning the bathroom or wiping the water out of the sink like Vicky has trained me to do over 32 years. But I can be thankful while I do it. I could be thankful I have a wife to make me a better person and clean up after myself, right? So in so many ways, even though something may be difficult or rub us wrong, we can still give thanks and have appreciation while we do it. We're called to give thanks at all times for all things and all circumstances. Ephesians 5 in verses 18 through 20, Paul says, "And do not get drunk on wine, for that is a dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing." There's that singing again, Vic, and singing with appreciation. "Making a melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks in all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." Again, the challenge for us this morning is to give thanks in all things and every day, not just on the Thanksgiving Day, the holiday that we all enjoy. Rejoicing, praying, and thanking or appreciation are all mentioned together in 1 Thessalonians 5 in verses 15 through 18. "See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people." Boy, there's a tall order in one verse. Always seek after that which is good for one another. Hopefully that's fairly easy in the body of Christ and the family of God, because we're all trying to live up to the same standard. As we get out there in the rough and tumble world with people who are not necessarily having that standard as their highest priority, it could be a little more difficult to only wish what is good or best for the other person. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And then in verse 18, he says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And I'll share with you, personally this morning, during times of great difficulty or challenge or trials, it's not easy. The first thing on my mind is not to give thanks to God. And yet we are commanded and expected to give thanks for our trials and for our tribulations and even our difficulties in life. And they can be a blessing, and they are a blessing when we give thanks to the Lord and when we strive to understand the lesson that he might have us to learn in the process. The NIV says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." When dealing with evil or evil people that are in the world, they're out there, right? During persecution, personal health problems, that can be a difficult time. Very difficult to give thanks to God that I have a health issue right now. And yet, we're called to do it. We can help each other with that. And then while dealing with health problems of other people, that could be even more difficult, because at times we think, I'd rather take their sickness or their problem on myself and relieve them of the burden, but that's not possible. So we have to continue to give thanks even during those difficult times, during times of hardship or difficulty. When it doesn't make sense to give thanks, we're called and challenged to give thanks anyway to God. And so many times when we force ourselves to obey God, to obey his word, It's such a blessing because we start focusing on our other blessings that are present and there at the same time, although our focus is on the difficulty. Isn't that true? We give thanks for our freedom, spiritual freedom. And it's important to know that we're freed from sin. We're not freed to sin, because then we're going back into bondage and slavery to sin, spiritual bondage, right? But Paul writes in Romans 6 and verses 16 through 18, "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin before you became a Christian, before you were baptized into Christ, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." So come to find out that when we became a Christian, we became a slave of righteousness. Unfortunately, some still live as spiritual slaves in spiritual slavery, even in a free country, where we have not only the freedoms, but we have the freedom of religion to come to the Lord, to study the Bible, and to respond to the love of God. He frees us from lust, anger, hatred, fits of rage, envy, jealousy, greed, idolatry. We're freed from all these sins and the sinful fleshly nature so we can live a life with the fruits of the Spirit in our life. Only through Christianity can you do that. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, all the good fruits of the Spirit. That's really living, isn't it? Rather than living as a slave to sin, we can live as slaves of obedience, which leads to righteousness, rather than leading us away from God and eventually to an eternity separated from God. So Paul says, for all of us human beings, we're all slaves. It's just a question of whether or not we're a slave to sin or we're slaves of righteousness and obedience, which leads to an eternity with God in heaven. The choice is ours to make as human beings, and we have the freedom to make that choice. We thank God for our victory that is only found in Christ. I don't know about you, but some days I don't feel victorious. How about you? You're victorious as a Christian. I'm victorious as a Christian, even though we don't feel like it at times. How about that? I don't feel like it because I forgot the victory that I gained and I won in Christ, and that He gained for me on the cross and for you. We have the victory over death, Paul reminds us, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 53 through 58. Most often we hear this passage of Scripture at funerals, unfortunately, but we're going to look at it this morning. Paul says, "For this perishable body must put on the imperishable." And he's talking about this perishable body, this temporary body that we're in. Unless Christ comes back first, our bodies are perishing. We have to accept it. I can slow it down. I can exercise. I can eat better. There's some things I can do. But ultimately, this body went from new when I was born, and it's moving toward old. Right? Wherever I am along that line and wherever you are, it's just a fact of life. But the Bible, and of course Paul here, gives us a realistic way to deal with the realities of life. That's the great thing about Christianity. He says, he goes on to say in verse 54, "When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Won't that be a great day when all of death is swallowed up in victory? There is no more death. There is no more dying. There's only being together with the Lord in eternity with Jesus in that place He went to prepare for those who love Him. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This same victory that Paul wrote about roughly 2,000 years ago is ours to cling to and take hold of today. And in fact, we have taken hold of it. when we become a Christian. Therefore, in verse 58, based on all these truths, based on the fact that you're victorious now in Christ, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, be immovable, always be abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. We can never be steadfast and movable and always abounding in the Lord as the good Lord intends until we claim that great victory that he's given us, right? Then we can be immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord and steadfast in the Lord. And we can know, as Paul reminds us this morning, that our labor has not been in vain. I guess I could say with a show of hands or maybe a nod of the head, how many have been a Christian for a while and at times you felt like your labor is in vain? I'll be honest. At times I felt like my labor is in vain. Maybe we're trying to have an influence on our parents, on our children, on our neighbors. We're trying to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world as God has called us to be. We're being consistent in going to Bible class and our personal Bible study and in prayer and going to worship. And it just doesn't feel like, it just doesn't seem like it's making a difference. How about it? We have to remember that's only the way we feel. That's not reality, right? It is making a difference. Sowing God's word and his powerful seed makes a difference in the lives of others. Living a faithful Christian life is having a powerful influence in the lives of others, whether or not they're responding right at this time. Our work and our labor and our efforts in Christ to bring others to Christ and to have a godly influence is certainly not in vain. How about an attitude of ingratitude, the flip side of the coin? Paul warned Timothy about being ungrateful. I think the lesson is for Timothy himself, but also for Timothy to pass on to the congregation he was serving, 2 Timothy 3, in verses 1 through 5. Paul writes and says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty." We're living in the last days. There have been times of difficulty since this was written roughly 2,000 years ago, and over these last centuries, 2,000 years. We're experiencing times of difficulty in this world now, in our country and in this world. Don't watch too much of the news. It gets depressing, but it's okay to be aware of what's going on in the world at the same time. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. And then he mentions ungrateful, unholy, heartless, abusive, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. It can be depressing, but it is true to what's going on in the world, isn't it? Treacherous, reckless, swollen, or puffed up with conceit or pride. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. And then he says, avoid such people. Well, we're Christians. We still have to live and work in this world. But don't have close fellowship with people like this. It'll rub off on you, right? In some books, they're referred to as toxic people. So this is not just someone who forgot to say thank you on Thanksgiving, but this is people who by their very nature are ungrateful to God and rebellious against God and have an attitude overall of ingratitude rather than an attitude of gratitude. And we don't want to be one of those people, right? We can become a fool when we're ungrateful, right? We're wise, and we walk in fellowship with the Lord when we're grateful. But Romans chapter 1, Paul makes it clear in verses 18 through 22 that part of becoming a fool, in part, is being ungrateful to God for all that he's done. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, in other words, in their way of life and living. Because that which is known about God is evident to them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what was made by his very creation, speaks to the fact that there's an almighty God and a creator who created all that we see around us. But he says they have been clearly seen, being understood through what was made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, number one, they did not honor God as God, but then he specifically says, or give thanks, but rather they became futile in their speculations or their thinking, and their foolish heart was darkened. So part of having a foolish, darkened heart is not showing the proper appreciation and thanksgiving to God for all that he's done for us. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they refused to give thanks to God and refused to give honor to God. Futile in their speculations, the ESV says they became futile in their thinking. The ASV says they became vain in their reasoning, in their thinking, which led to becoming and having a foolish heart, which was darkened. So thank God we don't, even if we've been foolish, perhaps we've been a fool at times, I know I have, we don't have to stay a fool, right? We can learn from God, we can learn from his word. James tells us we can pray for wisdom. We can give thanks and express our gratitude toward God and be servants that are pleasing and acceptable in his sight, while at the same time being a blessing to one another in the body of Christ. So decide today on this Thanksgiving weekend Sunday. We'll commit together, but we'll have to help each other to give thanks to God at all times, in all things, and in all circumstances. How about it? If you have a need to respond this morning, we invite you to come as we're going to sing this invitation song.